soft answers to tough questions and loving our enemies, and the tough questions about Jesus. And the question tonight, how do you know Jesus rose from the dead? We want to look at, first of all, the skeptics' claim. In 1966, Ronald Gregor Smith wrote Secular Christianity. I just found a picture of the book, still for sale. Don't buy it. In this, he said, so far as historicity is concerned, it is necessary to explain, we may freely say, that the bones of Jesus lie somewhere in Palestine. Christian faith is not destroyed by this admission. On the contrary, only now, when this has been said, are we in a position to ask about the meaning of the resurrection as an integral part of the message concerning Jesus. He's saying, it's not real, folks. It's just religious stuff. Now we can really get down to the conversation, what it means. This is the philosophy based on the idea that Christianity, like all other religions, is not about reality, but about religious thought, or about an attitude about a God concept. Well, what is the Bible's claim? That's the skeptic's claim. You notice that we're just supposed to take his word for it, right? No indication that there was any proof of that. But the Bible's claim, the Apostle Paul argued against some of the Corinthian Christians who were saying that they did not believe in the possibility of resurrection. They had got to where they said, well, that you know, people are dead, that's just it. When it's over, it's over. He says, well, let's examine that faith. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Christ was preached that he rose from the dead. So that preaching is empty, vain. And your faith is also vain, because you believed in what we were preaching, which was vain. So your faith is vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God. I didn't mean we're necessarily intentionally lying, he says, but if we're that mistaken, we're a false witness. Because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom, of course, he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you are yet in your sins, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Having been given this hope of salvation, if that is dashed in against the rocks of rationalism and materialism and anti-supernaturalism, then he says we're most miserable because it's been taken from us, this great glorious hope. In short, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, Christianity crumbles. I forgot to put the word not in there. All right, Roman numeral 3, evidence of Christ's resurrection. Fortunately for us, one of the most documented events in the ancient world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His resurrection was the one sign Jesus gave to the religious leaders that were asking of him, Matthew 12. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given to it, but, except for this one, the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And, of course, as Jonah returned, so will would the Messiah. He put everything of his ministry, of his reputation, on the fact of his resurrection. We see, secondly, that his resurrection distinguishes him as the Son of God. Romans 1:4, declared or determined to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Declared or determined to be the Son of God by the resurrection of the dead. And then we see that his resurrection was documented by eyewitnesses. He was seen alive after his crucifixion and burial. He was seen alive over a 40-day period by many people. So that Acts 1:3, Luke was able to write, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Later in about AD 56, Paul spoke of eyewitnesses of Christ's resurrection who were still alive and could verify the facts. 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. This is like a footnote in the book, you know, to go to this to check it out. And he says, the people who saw this happen are still around. So notice also, in the fourth place, the complete lack of evidence denying Christ's resurrection. Another book. In 1971, Frank Morrison wrote, Who Moved the Stone? He was an agnostic journalist who tried to write a book disproving Christ's resurrection. However, after investigation, he realized the depth of the evidence and became a believer in Christ as Savior. And he put that into this book. Here's what he says. This study is in some ways so unusual and provocative that the writer thinks it desirable to state here very briefly how the book came to take its present form. In one sense, it could have taken no other, for it is essentially a confession, the inner story of a man who originally set out to write one kind of book and found himself compelled by the sheer force of circumstances to write another. It is not that the facts altered, for they are recorded imperishably in the monuments and in the pages of human history, but the interpretation to be put on the facts underwent a change. And in the book, he recognized three interest groups who could possibly have taken the dead body. It would have been the Romans, or the Jewish leadership, or the sorrowing disciples. So he looks at these. The Romans. The Romans were moved to keep peace in Israel. They were under authority, and the last thing that the people in authority over them wanted was an uprising, things being stirred up. So it was desirable to keep the provinces as quiet as possible. Taking the crucified preacher's body was contrary to their desired purposes. They had no reason to motivate them to do it, nor any reason to hide it once they did it. What about the Jewish leadership? Well, these were the ones who especially did not want the body disappearing. You remember they asked for and received a Roman guard for the tomb. Matthew 27:64, they're asking the governor, command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. They were trying to keep the body in the tomb, not steal it away. And then the disciples. Let's look at them. Well, the scripture records their disheartened unbelief, their fear of being next on the Roman cross. They were hiding. not plotting. They had no reason to steal the body. And we notice this in the history of these men and women, they died standing for the truth of the resurrection. This energized them. This set them ablaze. And the question can be simply asked, how could all of them do such a thing if they knew it was a hoax played on the people? Get somebody else to die for your hoax, but not you, right? And all of them went to the grave defending this as the truth. Well, that leaves us with Roman numeral 5, the only reasonable conclusion. The other reasonable explanation is that Jesus has risen from the dead, that in fact the eyewitnesses were correct. While they were not acquainted with scientific understanding of the 21st century, they were agriculturally oriented people, well-schooled in life and death. They knew when a person was dead, and they knew when a person was alive. They could tell the difference. Peter testifies to this, 2 Peter 1:16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. You almost hear in this that the charge had been made against him. You're making this up. No, it all fits together. Well, it was cunningly devised fables. He says, no, that's not what we did. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So, yes, we can be sure that Christ rose from the dead, and we can be sure that it is very important for us to know that. Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 15 is that if he is not raised from the dead, then the Christian faith fails, contrary to what Mr. Ronald Gregor Smith said. It didn't make any difference. We'll just believe the irrational. We'll be fine. Comments or questions?